All right, our next question has to do with the history of Christianity. And it's the objection that goes something like this. Isn't Christianity responsible for a great deal of bloodshed? And the answer can be yes or no, depending on what we mean by Christianity. If we mean what Jesus Christ taught and what his followers ought to live out in their lives, then the answer is no, because people that trust and seek to obey the Lord Jesus are not going to persecute other people. They are not going to shed blood, not for the cause of Christianity. We are to love our enemies. We are to pray and do good to those that abuse us and persecute us. It's at the very core of New Testament teaching that we ought to bless and not curse. So if we're biblical Christians, we won't do that. And that has been the case for the history of Christianity right from the get-go. And yet, it is only right to point out that people who have called themselves Christians have been responsible for a great deal of bloodshed, usually because they have thought that they were right and anyone who disagreed with them was wrong and needed to be dealt with. Now, behind this are normally a couple of basic reasons. One of them is when you get an institutionalized church, especially if that church is not following the full teaching of the New Testament. And that would be the history of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church instigated the Inquisition. That's a very unchristian and unbiblical thing to invent. It was responsible for the persecution of Jews, persecution of unbelievers, persecution of Protestants and independents. And really, the designs were not to get people back to biblical Christianity. The designs and the intent there were to get people under the fold of and control of the Roman Catholic Church. So the motive was very different, and therefore when the motive shifts from off of Christ and his rule onto the rule of men who are using the name of Christ, then of course persecution can ensue. You also find it because of a false teaching that we've addressed here before, that teaching of supersessionism or replacement theology. Often people who have called themselves Christians and some people who have been Christians have held that the church is the new Israel and is under, to some extent, the Mosaic law, and therefore, because they're under the Mosaic law, that people who are deemed to be lawbreakers, for example, not celebrating the quote-unquote Christian Sabbath or doing work on a Sunday or any number of other things, that they must be summarily dealt with and sometimes persecuted because, well, they're not one of us, and we're the true Israel, and we've got to ensure that God's law is obeyed. That's often been the case, and I think that was the undergirding influence behind, for example, the Salem witch trials, where the girls who were accusing all of the different people that were imprisoned and persecuted, they were believed to be honest and true. And the people that they were accusing were thought to be guilty of demonic activity. Whereas it certainly appears, upon reflection, upon looking at the testimony of the girls involved, that the exact reverse was the case. In either case, the way that the authorities in the name of Christ responded was in an unbiblical and ungodly way. So if Christians are living like Christians, if they're following Christ, and most people that call themselves Christians, I think nowadays, try to do that, then they're not going to be violent. They may be guilty of all kinds of different sins and faults which need to be sorted out, but they're not going to start wars and cause bloodshed over Christianity. But yes, there have been people who have institutionalized Christianity, who have believed that God had called upon them as the new Israel to have a go at people that didn't obey God's law, and they certainly did shed blood. And we read of both of those different kinds of people in the history of Christianity.